Hello everyone, I'm Anne from Australia. Today it is Thursday and it's 9 a.m. so school has started here. All my students unfortunately are finished because some of them would have loved to have been part of this presentation. Well, they would have done it. And I had some Year 9 students lined up this morning, but they're off to the beach to clean up the beach. Which is about 30 minutes from us. So I'm sorry, I have no students with me, but what I will try and do is capture some of the students' comments as we go. Steve, my students were year 11 and 12 this semester, so they're all finished. We've still got 7, 8 and 9 here. It's going to be 30 degrees today, which is probably about 96, I think we realised, in Fahrenheit. I'd like to start with this couple of questions from a student in Japan. This student is 24 years old and she lives in Sapporo. There are 180 million people who live there. But she's got a question. What does Hawkesdale P12 College or your town look like? This is a university that, sorry, what was her name? I didn't put her name in, sorry. This is the university that this girl attends. So to answer her question, one of my boys, Josh, who will be 16 years old, explained that Hawkesdale is a very small town with about 200 people living in it. And he went on to explain a little bit about it. But what I love is now the students are starting to use their language and lingo. So in Australia, we often use the word mate. So straight away we're starting to get the different languages and cultures coming through. I want to go back to that a little bit later on, so I just hope you remember the questions and the answers. So this is my school. We teach Mandarin Chinese as a second language, and that's why you will see we've actually got, it's not a very clear photo, but we've actually got Mandarin Chinese writing there to say, what's our P12 college? We're completely rural. This is exactly where we're from because I thought some people may not realise it. Way down south in eastern Australia, 4 hours drive from Melbourne. We have this beautiful big gum tree outside our office and that's actually made up of our school logo. So this is the back gate, as some of you might have seen before. If you step outside the back gate to our school, you're surrounded by rural land. 150 people live in the town, maybe 200 at a stretch. No mobile phone service, although students seem to be able to get little pockets where they get messages. And every student from years 5, which would be about 10 years old, right through to 18 year olds, have a laptop of their own. So we have different payment options for that. And this is Hawkesdale and this is the whole school. So we're assembled in the main street of Hawkesdale for what we call our Remembrance Day ceremony. These are my passions. So I hope these passions come through as I show you a few more of the activities that we've got involved in. I love this photo. I caught it at a time where the students were doing all sorts of things, but even though they look like they're looking in every direction, they are all actually watching the beach from Malaysia come through video conferencing with Skype and tell a student how to play his game Kodu, which was made with Microsoft Kodu Game Maker. First, the students had to download the game on their netbooks or computers. He then showed them or shared the link to his game, told them how to play it. He had won a prize in Malaysia for this educational game which was based on environmental science. My students then played it and gave him feedback via email. We've used video conferencing a lot because of our remoteness and our distance from major cities. We are culturally and geographically isolated, so we only have white Caucasians in our school. Although this year in prep, our first year of school, we have a little Indian boy. So we do have one different accent. In this photo, these students are watching a Melbourne Symphony Orchestra player demonstrating the saxophone. So he's playing the instrument to them. They are listening Dylan is actually giving him feedback by the chat, saying whether he liked what he heard and asking questions. And then the orchestra members would actually come back, answer the questions, record some music so our students can make their own musical story. But this is to show you that even our grade 3 students come into a virtual classroom like we've got in Blackboard Collaborate now. So these students were also listening in a separate time to members of the symphony orchestra, and they also spoke to our Minister for Finance because he was about to launch a big multimedia project which was involving a lot of funding for schools to continue online learning of music. So these students are very slow typing, so by the time they got their questions in, we had to alert the Minister back to the questions in the chat so he could answer them. These two girls live in Western Java, Indonesia, where some of them have mobile phones. Very few of them have any computers at all. Even their mobile phones do not have internet access, so they are really remote. And 2 years ago, they suffered a major earthquake, and there were about 300 lives lost. We were worried about them because we've done a bit of video conferencing with them in the past, and they weren't online in Skype 8 hours after the earthquake. So we started to Google and look to see what the extent of the damage was, and then we saw them pop up in Skype in that chat forum. So we asked if they were able to come online and tell us about what it was like to live through an earthquake. This girl was still very, very frightened because now they were under the tsunami warnings, and she was frightened to go home. She lived right near the seaside and she feared that she would be lost with a tsunami. However, I think the tsunami didn't actually eventuate. I hadn't even thought about what these students had learned at the time, and when I wrote a blog post, I was really surprised to see Will Richardson actually commented back, and he talked about all the skills these students might have learnt from that very simple link up just after the earthquake. So sometimes I think we forget that all that hidden learning that might go on because it's not clearly written down or reflected on. However, my students did write blog posts on that. We've also done online debating. We're a prep tier 12 school, so we have 5-year-olds right through to 18-year-olds. And these students are actually debating online with another school group who live 2 hours drive away. But if they didn't do this, they wouldn't have the experience of debating. So how are we going? And are you understanding my accent? Am I going too fast? Can you smile if you're happy? Thank you, Lisa. Lots of people are saying I have an accent. Okay. We were really lucky. A friend of mine in America had a contact, a research scientist, who was actually in Antarctica. So we set aside 3 times to be able to try and connect with this lady who was in a tent in Antarctica with an aerial on her tent to get internet access. If the wind blew at all, the internet would go down. So we had 3 possible meeting times scheduled, but it worked the first time. So it was really, really good. The kids were able to watch. We had every class in their own classroom. I think we put all the secondary students in the library. So the students could think of a question, and you can see this boy's taking the question up to his teacher. The teacher would key it in the chat, and then Jean from Antarctica would answer the question. She had slides and pictures to show us, but the kids had so many questions that she filled in all her time answering questions. And I think that's something we don't do very often as teachers. We too often teach what we think needs to be taught, and then the kids have all these questions on things they would like to learn. So that was really exciting for our school. We weren't going to try the video because we thought that would pull her down, but we did once it had finished, and yes, we could actually see her. So yeah, I think link-ups like this with Antarctica etc., hopefully will become more frequent because it's a great way to learn. We've linked up with a school in Russia. First of all, when we used to do video conferences, we used to just have questions and ask each other questions. Then we realised it was much more valuable to bring an object to the camera, talk about the object, and then the students seem to lose their shyness. So I don't know if you can see it, but Emily here has got a blue-tongued lizard, which is a native animal to Australia. So this little lizard will poke out its blue tongue when it's frightened. So the students in Russia could actually see the little blue tongue flicking in and out. The Russian students showed us the babushka dolls. They did folk dancing for us, showed us some of their art, etc. Yeah, Tony, I know what that's like with internet going in and out. Mine does that when I'm home. But we've continued beyond the video conference link-ups. We built a wiki to share our culture. We also helped this class in Russia fill in a survey. So I hope you can see my pictures because I tried to resize them to make sure they're okay. So can you see Ekaterina with a speech bubble? Maybe you could smile or maybe you could smile. Can you all see my picture of Ekaterina? Yeah, thanks, Tina. So we helped them get a survey together to take to the USA Embassy on climate or global warming. Ekaterina feels that students in Russia don't know a lot about global warming. We've had a student from Boston in USA, a grade 6 student, talk to our year 11 students all about Halloween. And in Hawksdale, we don't celebrate Halloween at all. We see it on the television, hear it on the news, but it's not really celebrated widely in our area. So the kids were fascinated with that. However, we're not in the same time zone and not even in the same day of the week most of the time. So this little boy had to come back at night time and it was about 10 a.m. for us. I like this one too. This is a little girl who's a gifted student in grade 6. She's been taught about the eye from an optician. But that optician was in Perth, which is about 12 hours, well, probably 30 hours away from us. But he was in hospital and he didn't want the kids to miss out, so he taught them from hospital. But it wasn't only this little girl, there were two from Bangkok, two from China and one from the USA. Six students all together in one virtual room learning about the eye from an optician in Perth who was in hospital. Sometimes we have a lot of racist attitudes because we are culturally isolated. And we had a few problems with our cricket team going to India. And we had some racist problems down in our capital city. So we decided to discuss whether we should go to India to play sport with a class in India. Now, Alex, I met at a flat classroom conference in Mumbai. So Steve was there at that conference. So I met Alex and she wanted to do something further with me and our school. So Alex, would you believe, was a teacher. It just felt like she was a teacher. She's coming through the library, interactive whiteboard, controlling the class, putting them in groups, or the kids actually elected to go into groups. She controlled the whole lesson, discipline and all. So these are her students. They came up one at a time, as did ours, introduced themselves. We put them in groups of 5, gave them some sample questions to discuss. We created Google documents for each group. 5 or 6 students were in a group, 3 from each school, and they discussed the questions that they were given. So I hope you've had time to read that. This is what the Google Doc looked like. So here's the students who are in this group. That was their question, and then the students proceeded to actually discuss it there. And of course the kids said in India, or from India, come over to us. They knew there was an element of danger, but they assured us that we'd be well looked after. We've put one of our Year 12 girls who was learning Mandarin Chinese with Malaysian students who speak Chinese. We can't get through the Great Firewall of China. So these two girls started to practice English and Mandarin Chinese. Then they found they had a love of piano. Now this is after school. So the two girls are after school, this time in MSN or Messenger, talking to each other and trying to practice their languages. We live in Kanawinka, which is the world's largest geopark, so we're right in the middle of that. And some of our students at our school come from this little town, which has a volcano called Mount Rouse. But our sister geopark is the world's smallest, and it's in Hong Kong. So we've had a lot of community link-ups with Hong Kong and with our own local experts in the geopark. So this is Yang Nung from Hong Kong, who was instrumental in getting Hong Kong to become a geopark. And this is one of our geologists, Ian, who also spoke from Australia, Adelaide, to our students. So each of these people presented, and you can see that when you put through Blackboard Collaborate, so we're in the same virtual room. So when Ian was talking to the students, he talked about the local wildlife, or the wildlife that could be found in our volcanic geopark. So you can see how much the students love to talk. We not only had students from our school individually logged on, but we actually had other schools coming in. And we even had geology experts from China logged in. So this is a blended classroom of a huge magnitude. Oh, but what I like is this one down here. Cara has gone back and answered a student's question. So the students are looking after each other and mentoring each other. The kids love to say where they've been and their exposure to everything as well. But the questions keep coming through all the time. So the speakers actually answer what the students want to know. Ian started to talk about the bats, and then he moved on to the next topic. But we had to stop Ian because by the time the students put their question in the chat, he'd gone on. So we said, Ian, could you please stop, come back and answer these questions for the students? And he did, and that filled in the rest of that lesson. And as Georgia says there, and I hope you can read that, you can't ask questions of a textbook, but you can from an expert in a virtual room. It was Book Week in Australia about 2 months ago, and I was on Twitter at home on the weekend, and I thought, I wonder if I could get an author to come and speak to my Year 11 computer students, because they're so easily disengaged. And I thought that might encourage them to write. I just hoped one would fall out of the sky, and he did. This person from New York replied to my tweet 2 hours later, and I think he found me because I put hash author next to my tweet. So he was obviously surfing around in Twitter looking for someone referring to an author. So he came to our school via Skype, and we decided to put most of our school in with him because we felt he's passionate about writing. It would encourage all our students. So we had Year 7 right through to 11, about 80 students in the room that day. So you can see this is what it looks like in our library. The students cluster around the whiteboard. We've just got a microphone set up there. One of the girls has gone up to ask him a question. And this young student doesn't like writing at all. So he had to get up to Christopher Hearst, who is the author from New York, and explain why he didn't like it. And of course, Christopher immediately responded to each of his complaints about writing. But my students had to go back and write a blog post, and this is what I got from one of my easily disengaged students. I thought it was the best thing we've done for info all year. I listened to all the little bits of advice he gave. But not only did he come in that once, he offered to work with interested students at lunchtime. So every Tuesday since then at lunchtime, the kids bring their lunch in. It was not a very good photo, but it shows you what it looks like. And he talks to them and gives them tasks to complete. So we didn't know what to do, how to share our work. So his network of authors in New York suggested using Evernote. So we all have the same logon, username and password. He set up folders. So he's just got an Ask Christopher folder so the kids can put their questions in there. They had to each develop a character. So they put their characters in that folder. He He then goes through it and gives them feedback, etc., before the link up the next week. He's also got, they have to do conversations between their character and another, etc., etc., interview their character. And then we found he didn't understand where we lived because he said to the kids, they kept saying they didn't have time 1 week to write. And he said, you write on the bus. I read that you're on a bus, school bus, to get to school for an hour each way. But my kids said it's too bumpy on the bus. They can't actually hold a pen and write. So we decided to share pictures and photos with him then. So he started to see the farms they live on, the animals they have, the dirt tracks they ride on, and he shared photos of New York, which is something we're fascinated with. This has been another project we got involved in this term. I think I was Googled. A lady, a lecturer in Japan, found me by Google. And if you go back to my very first slide, and I'm sorry for those of you who came in later, I had a question from the girl who lives in a city of 280 million in Japan, ask my kids about the town they live in. So this is where we have got this forum and discussion forum going. But what I loved is when I got the kids on the site, there were gasps of dismay because they couldn't understand any of this writing. So we've had to work our way through, work out the translators, etc. But this is some of the conversations going on in the discussion forum, first of all. These students are learning English in Japan, and they're doing a subject called interpretation. So Nikeo, the lecturer, wanted our students to create little videos that would explain family life and school to these students in Japan. Now my students have got a set curriculum to follow at Year 11, and I nearly said, no, we haven't got time. But we were studying databases at the time. I thought, I can easily tweak it. So that we create a database out of what we're doing in this collaborative project. And what is happening now is that one of the girls was in this one. She's asking, could you check my English and correct my mistakes if you have time? And that's what mine are now doing. Except Corrie corrected it and didn't understand what this obukan was. So Corrie had to ask her, and straight away Ayaka came back and explained, obukan is women whose age are 30 to 50. They have a warm heart and great energy. So we have learnt so much from this. It's even got to the stage where the students in Japan are writing essays on learning a foreign language. And would you believe it? My students are actually writing essays with them. So my students don't get much exposure. In Year 11 we have about 18 students total. So they don't have that opportunity to mingle a lot with students who are maybe highly motivated, bright, etc. But now they're working with university students, it's so engaging and motivating. Now I just love this comment from Renee. She reckons she learns when she has fun using technology. And I think you'll find that's what most students will say. I've put my Year 11 students on Twitter now because they're in a project to reinvent school, which we're going to have to do outside school time too. And my kids didn't want to go on Twitter. They said, no, we don't want to do that. That's Facebook and phone messaging. But, you know, the kids came back a week later and said how they're loving Twitter. They set up a tweet deck. They put in columns to search for the games that they love playing and the people that develop the games, the musicians they follow, and they've got the educational columns too. And this was an email I got from Renee who said she's been getting a lot of follows on Twitter. It's so exciting. So I want my students to be able to develop a network like I've got. Did you teach them hashtags too, right, Lisa? There was so much learning. I could teach them about profiles because I could see they were putting up school photos of them in uniform. I said, no, we don't want people to know too much about you yet. We talked about behaviour online. So much learning came out of that, and there wasn't one peep out of them for the double. That's my easily disengaged group, remember? I also had to set up a Facebook group. I taught accounting across three schools, so two three students weren't in my actual face-to-face class. They came into Blackboard Collaborate, just like we are doing now, and they don't read my emails. The only time they would read my emails was when they had to get a link to the room to meet me for their class. So I decided to try a Facebook group page. So the kids are not my friends. Facebook is blocked at school, but when they're home, that's where they are. And what I found was if I put some links up there or resources or wanted them to do something, they would be straight in there answering me. So I also found that students started to ask questions about the things they didn't understand. And before I even saw that they'd put something up, another student actually answered the question for me. So I'm going to try that just a little bit more with my students. Just to show you, Asia is in our time zone, but they don't speak English as their first language. It's either their second, third or fourth. But we are the perfect combination because our school hours are nearly the same. The international schools are good because most of them speak good English, but most of our contacts have been with ordinary government schools. So with that school that I just showed you, we worked on global storytelling. So students, we set up a wiki. Students from both schools and countries made little book trailers to tease people to read the books that they were studying. And if you're interested, I'll just put the link in the chat for you. So they just made up little video book trailers. They shared them on the wiki, just like we're doing the Black Classroom project. And that's where they've got the confidence to do that. And then we went to the Melbourne Writers Festival on a bus for 4 hours each way. And we were on centre stage in Federation Square in Melbourne, which is a really big achievement for our little school. And our students shared their stories. We chose four groups. And they shared their book trailers on that big screen, spoke to the MC about how they'd done it, what they'd learnt, etc. But we had our class from Malaysia linked up from Ipoh in Malaysia at the other end, coming through and sharing their book trailers. The Malaysian students are Chinese, Indian and Malay. So they actually chose books that reflected their culture. So it's quite fascinating to go to that site. So there were so many communities involved in that project of global storytelling. We not only had the Melbourne Writers Festival, but the Malaysian Writers Festival got involved too. Our Melbourne City Council were involved, the education at Federation Square, and of course our education department and the Melbourne Writers Festival. They were Centre Square. This class we've actually linked up in Blackboard Collaborate over a 5-week period. So we first introduced over Skype and then we shared the whiteboard just like we can do in this virtual classroom. First of all, we got to know each other. So we just used to ask questions. Zainuddin, the teacher over there, would take it in turns. 1 week he'd do the questions, the next week I would. And you know, I know you can't read that very well, but what we found was that the students had common ideals and common objectives. They all looked for the same thing in friends. They all had the same skills that they wanted to learn, etc. I just wanted to show you this slide because I think this shows the nervousness in a way, but the pure engagement. Again, these girls come in at lunchtime on a Thursday and link up with the schools, a variety of schools in Western Java. Now, this isn't easy because these kids do not speak English or they have such a distinct accent, but having a group of them together, they can actually work out what's being said. So the students over there are showing they're showing how to cook one of their recipes. And they asked my girls, what do we call these things? So we thought they were bean shoots. So the girls would say bean shoots and then the kids in Indonesia would pronounce it exactly as we said it. But you can see the nerves start to disappear as time goes by. And we use chat. So we text in what we're saying when we don't quite understand each other. So the kids work their way around it. Now this brings me to these marvellous flat classroom projects. I think this is where I've got the confidence, the skill base for much of what I've been able to do and try and work beyond the actual project. So this is just to show that my kids will be at home at 9 p.m. at night to actually get together with a class in Germany, 8 a.m. there, Julie and her class in Beijing, and they were discussing the video outcomes and who would do the outsourced videos. And what I love is the chat. The chat goes wild because the kids have got the chance to learn about each other in real time. And what they put on the board is rather amazing. What they need, what they want to do, etc. Through the Black Classroom Project, we've linked when Julie was in Qatar with a lecturer at a university from Qatar who talked about digital citizenship. Again, the students have to stay behind after school. And when the kids link up at home, the parents are so keen to see what they're doing. It's actually the family being part of the classroom. Now, I'm nearly at the end. I don't know, are there any K5 teachers in here? Someone needs to perhaps do that. What I would love to do is just share a link to a video where Emily is talking about her time when she linked up with her student summit. So Lisa, I'm about to do a web tour, so I hope this comes up. So this is actually a YouTube video.
What I enjoy most about going online to connect with the students from China is that we're able to get a feel for what people around the world live like and how they learn at their own school. It gives us a chance to share our learning and allows us to enjoy our work.
Okay, so I'm not sure if that video is finished for you. It did for me, so maybe you smile if you've seen it all the way through. Okay, have we all seen it? Because if not, maybe you can watch it in your own time. And I just want to put another one up. I want to show you how hard it is for the students to actually try and connect with like the Asian countries for us. I must have got the wrong URL there. Well, I've got to get another one now. Let me just try that again. So this is actually the part where they were discussing the bean shoots, because the students in Indonesia, and this is where it's really valuable when they've got something to show. So I'll give you a minute or so to watch this one. Click play when you see it. Okay, so that just goes to show it's not easy. It's not easy for me to understand the language. But I think you can kind of understand exactly the kind of activities that go on. I need to have a small group of students there because they support each other. I've just got two more links if we've got time to watch these. So that's the link if it doesn't work in the web tour. Hang on, I've got to get that one out. Put this one in. So this is one of the boys. He asked if the girl gets hot in her Muslim clothes, because we don't have Muslims in our, we don't even have any near us. So I'll just give you a minute or so to play this one too. So I just think that shows all sorts of things. The kids not understanding each other, they're looking at each other, they support each other to try and interpret. Then they would go with that keyboard and ask the questions. It's real cultural exchange. So I'm just going to get out of the web tour. Hope that brings it back up. If you had a chance to listen to Emily before, I thought she spoke some real pearls of wisdom about learning and sharing learning with others. This is just to let you know some of the tools that I use. I use Dropbox with my virtual account in students, so that's why that one was there. And some of my kids use Outlook to organise themselves. But this is the blog. We use EduBlog. We use Skype a lot. We use Blackboard Collaborate a lot. In Victoria, we have what's called our own learning management system, the Optionet. I rely very much on Gmail, Gtalk, GVideo and also Facebook. And we also put stuff up on all these different software tools. So they're both learning resources and tools that we use. But I think they'll probably be our most common. And I love Wall Vision too. I didn't put that one up here. So I'll just go on to the next slide, because you can save these slides if you want to. That's my contact detail. Now, I did heaps of talking, so Lisa, I don't know if there are any questions. Or does anyone have any questions? I'll drop the mic. You can ask them with a microphone. We'll put them in the chat and I'll have a go at answering them.
So if you want to ask a question, you just click once and then you talk and then you click the word talk again to give it up. So if you have a question, you can either go on mic or you can type in the chat. Over to you.
I did see Steve has got a class. For people who came in a bit later, it's actually Thursday here, the start of our school day. And thank you, Nikki, for coming too. I see Nikki's in there. It's going to be really hot here today. It's going to be about 96 degrees Fahrenheit. How did I get connected? Okay, first of all, I started doing all this about 5 years ago. So I joined Classroom 2, and I should have actually put these slides up, I suppose. But I don't know, is anyone a member of Classroom 2? That's where I met, first of all, a lot of people. Then Twitter got invented. So I went onto Twitter, and I've made some amazing connections on Twitter. And it was a tweet one day that I read from Kim Cathino. So do you all know Kim? She was talking about this the Horizon Program, which is a flat classroom project, needed classes to evaluate the work that the students who were involved in the project were doing. So I thought that would be good for my year 12s because they were looking at working in virtual teams. So that's how I started with the flat classroom project, and that's where I got another lot of connections, etc. I googled global projects and found some sites where I've met others. And now, as I said, I seem to get Googled or people find me somehow. And so, I don't know, you know, I like the Global Education Collaborative Ning, I think it's called, with Lucy Gray. That's another good site to get people who are interested in doing projects. Some people say they like EPALS. I've never done EPALS. So I don't know, where do you guys find connections? I love, somebody in the chat before shared their email addresses because they wanted to do a project together. And I've actually found people just like that coming into online conferences or webinars and and then they, you know, you just go from there. Any other questions? I hope that answered that question. Oh, one other one. This is called a Skype in Education. I find that anybody around the world seems to be able to use Skype. It seems to be intuitive, user-friendly. And so if you go to Skype in Education, there's lots of teachers there wanting to do. Some are just simple projects. Some are quite complex, but you choose which you want to do. And all the stuff I use is free. You're right, Lisa. There's another one called Projects by Jen, Genuine Tech. Let me see if I can find that. She does primary school projects, or what do you call it, elementary and something. Let me see if I can just grab it for you. We did some of them, and they're fabulous. Some are just really simple. Some are a little bit more complex. But Jen actually links you up with other classes around the world. What's CA? What does that mean? Yeah. Some of it's, oh, California, okay. So, and it's the fun stuff. See you, Steve, so good to have you here. Steve and I have worked together on the flat classroom projects many a time. So Steve is from Australia. Thanks for coming, Steve. So if you would like to save my presentation, though, if you go to File, you can go to Save and save the whiteboard. And you save it as a PDF. So if you go to pop that in the chat, save. Save chat conversation. Sorry, save whiteboard. You can save the chat too. And you do all whiteboards, and you just make it a PDF. Make sure you choose PDF or PNG. So, any other questions? So who did the Oreo stacking stuff? That sounds interesting. Would you like to grab the microphone and tell us?
Hi, this is Tina. Can you hear me okay? Hopefully my microphone is working. Jen had a project where you gave the students Oreos and they got one chance to try and stack as many Oreos as they could in as high a tower as they could. Once they put the Oreo on there, they could not shift it around. Oreos are cookies. There are two dark sides and then there is a white filling in the middle. So the children had to stack as many as they could, and then we had to find, they were allowed to do it twice. They would get their highest score and turn it into me, and then we got an average of our highest score for the classroom, and then we submitted that to Jen, and then we were able to compare our averages with other children's averages around the world to see who was able to stack the most cookies. That she started in September, October. We did that, and we had a big chart. It was a lot of fun. So we're actually going to have a second go at it. Now that the children did it once, we'd like to try it again as a little Christmas activity to see if they could get higher stacks. We only had about 15, and other students were getting 20 or 25. So we need a second go at it. But it was a great thing to do in the beginning of the year to get the kids started and talking to each other and getting to know each other. So that was. I think she's doing one now, Jen, with Christmas cards around the world, too. She does a lot of some are simple, some are a little more involved. You can take your choice at whatever you'd like to do.
But again, what we're getting is a valuable network because you get to meet other teachers that are interested in doing interaction and global collaboration. And I'm sure this is the way learning will go, becoming more globalized all the time as our classrooms in the world flatten. For my students, I think they've got a lot more confidence now. They don't feel intimidated if they would be with people that look different to them and cultures. Our kids don't travel because we're so isolated in Australia and it's such a long way to even go. Well, for us to go to Indonesia, I suppose, would be a six-hour flight because most of our students from families that are of a lower socioeconomic strata, they don't travel beyond Australia and sometimes beyond our own state. So I just find these sort of things are so valuable in many ways. And even the Oreo biscuits, I bet that gave them an engagement for maths and working on that. Has anyone else done any other global projects or worked beyond the flat classroom projects with people they met there? Okay, well, Lisa, if there's no questions, I'll give the mic back to you.
Well, thank you very much. Let's give her a round of virtual applause. Go, Pubis's participants. Look below your name, there's smiley face. Go down three, there is applause. Click on the word applause, and we are applauding you, Anne Merchant. That was totally fantastic. You are the queen.
Well, maybe I could be the queen of the Oreo biscuits. That sounded a good project. I just dropped the link to that Japanese university in there. Okay, so shall we stop the recording? Thank you for coming. Where is everybody from? Are you able to put in the chat? I know Nikki's from the US. Tina is. Michelle, Andrea, where are you guys from? All from the USA. Okay. Oh, okay. Well, lovely to meet you all. And I might see you on the flat classroom projects at some stage. Oh, who has been involved in flat classroom projects? Could you put yes or no in the chat? Have you done a flat classroom project? So, Andrea, do you teach the younger students or the older? What age group students do you teach? And I do apologise to people. Oh, okay. So you've got the right age group there, Angie. I found them to be the most amazing project. It was huge learning. There's so much learning to be done. But, you know, when you get to those video outcomes and they get little video clips from other students, if that's the project they're working on, they're fabulous. So I'm sorry, I probably didn't explain them very well, but hopefully you can look it up. Yeah, because Lisa's put that in again. Okay, Lisa, thank you. Thank you, everybody. I'll just stay here for a few more minutes and then I will have to go to my class.
Thank you very much, Anne Merchant. Oh, those hands should be clapping for you. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, make sure that you give her a hoot and holler. Thank you once again.
Yeah, I put my contact details on the blog. So the other two blogs are the merchant.wordpress one is the one where I do most of my personal reflections. This one I use as my classroom blog. That's my email and that's my Twitter ID. Okay, thanks Nikki for coming. Nikki and I worked on the Global Education Conference together, Lisa, much of the time. So it's lovely to have Lisa in the room with me.